What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
You're getting me football horny, as Clint would say.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
All right, I'm sure Clint is somewhere getting football horny where he is right now, but it is not here. Patrick Creighton is in the building.
Thank you, PC. Low-T.
There you go. PC's in the building. You normally hear him on the night show, Area 45 with Sean Bajani and Christopher Santiago, but he is in for Clint today, and we're doing Dirty's Daily. We're gonna try to run through this thing and hold it down for Clint while he's out today. And I've been thinking about this since, I'd say, Saturday night, Sunday morning, when I'd say it was getting pretty aggressive for me on the old social media. With some of you, somebody already texted in and apologized for their...
I missed all that in the moment, but I was scrolling through it actually just this morning and restraining myself from applying to some of the dumbasses.
But yeah, somebody's already apologized on here and said they're sorry for their mean messages on it. But I've been thinking about this. Because we've kind of had conversations, right, of like, all right, there's kind of like whatever that list is, or that Mount Rushmore, however you put it, of the teams, the organizations, the whoever it is that Houston sports hate. And right, every time, you know, we do this conversation or it comes up, the Cowboys seem to be at the top of the list.
That's every city.
Weak-ass Cowboys.
A lot of them. The Cowboys at the top of the list. I feel like it's a little stronger here, though. I feel like it's very strong. Maybe in Philly. Maybe in Washington and New York. Maybe so there. But very strong here. The Yankees, I mean, especially.
Also every city.
I work with Tyler. That's a big one.
I got a message for those Yankee turds.
The Titans, for clear reasons, I've always expressed. I thought they should have been at the top.
Andre Beatdown.
Put Dodgers.
Put back in the trunk.
I think the Rangers may be in that thing as well.
The Junk Grabbers.
Okay, the Junk Grabbers. I forgot. You have a different name for everybody.
That's my favorite one.
And then I think I've learned the Utah Jazz really, you know, gets under the craw of some people.
Oh, Mad Max always got something to say about the folks in Utah.
Yeah. I understand that a little bit. But I'm wondering right now, it feels like the Chiefs are climbing on that list if they haven't slipped on that sucker. And I just wonder, like, where is it? I know some of it is this right now for many of you commenting on this will be recency bias and it just happened and it's fresh, but where are the Chiefs on this list of
sports hate power rankings?
Like sports hate, yeah. If you had to, like, what the teams or organizations here in Houston that the Houston sports fan hates the most,
the arrow's pointed up.
Where have the Chiefs landed? Where are they
climbing at? More and more every day, my friend.
I'd imagine it's climbing. I mean, it was emotional. Like I said, what I started to get from people voicing it and people on the text line and YouTube and Twitch the last day or so.
See, I think there's a big echo chamber on social media about, sure, oh, the Chiefs, they get every call. And people now are very hypersensitive to, well, if the Chiefs get a call, clearly the refs are cheating. We saw the Bills get a call and you didn't get the same. The refs are cheating. You got the, hey, that call was a bad missed call. or a bad call overall, but not the refs are cheating.
Bundle Rooski.
Whereas with the Chiefs, it's always, oh, the refs are cheating. To me, Houston fan POV, the Chiefs really aren't that high because it's not a, there's no rivalry there. You don't have a rivalry history with the Chiefs. You have a few games with the Chiefs where they kicked your ass, but you got a few games. To me,
I don't know. It feels like it's painful.
Baltimore should be higher on the list than Kansas City. Ooh. Because what they do to the Texans is illegal in 38 states. And they kick their ass.
You got a problem more with the Ravens.
Oh, the Ravens obliterate the Texans. I got much bigger issue with the Ravens on the hate scale.
I couldn't do the Chiefs. I couldn't agree with that at all. What did Aikman say? I couldn't agree with that call anymore.
Any less.
If I would ask you, Tyler, what is the most difficult Texans loss you've ever dealt with?
24-0 at Arrowhead Stadium in 2019.
The Ravens, there's one thing to just whoop somebody's
ass. That was the handshake, man. The Brian Hoyer 4-pick game.
Oh, yeah, there's that one, too. That one where, I forgot.
24-0, though, man. That's at the front of the lobes in my dome. I mean, that is the most painful professional sports loss of my fandom. I was cloud nine up 24-0. You can ask my wife. I was watching at home all by myself, had my drink, had my snacks. I was hyped. 24-0. Holy hell, we're moving on. We're going to get to the AFC title game. Oh, my God.
But that was, and that is like the worst loss in franchise history.
God, it makes
but
my stomach hurt.
But it's also like two franchises ago. Bill O'Brien being out of here.
No,
Deshaun being out of here.
Oh, come on.
That is two franchises
ago. Get out of here.
You've gone through.
Where are you from?
Your Jack Easterby, whoever the hell the coach is going to be this year. We don't know. And now you are into your D'Amico and Casario actually running the team part. That is like two franchises.
I mean, John Weeks was on the team.
Stop it, Pat.
Feels like he's been on the team like since its inception.
Listen, you're from New York. The Yankees have not gotten over being up 3-0 on the Red Sox and then losing that 4-0. Like, we've never seen
before. They're the
just because
only
there's
team.
A different manager that is there. No.
Who's your not, daddy now?
No, the people here in Houston haven't gotten over, and I'm sorry.
I can tell you about Yankee fans because
Christie,
a lot of them are in my
Doug
family.
Or the Buffalo Bills. I don't know for that kicker's name. I have just lost his name. It's not Doug. Whatever. Matt Christie.
Steve Christie
kicking that final field goal with them coming back, having that huge lead in Buffalo, and Andre Reed catching that ball and doing that stupid dance in the end zone. No, I don't
think. Do you think they hate Scott Norwood more than Steve Christie? Because Scott Norwood, of course, missed
maybe
the
Buffalo
kick in the Super
does,
Bowl.
But I know Houston hasn't forgotten. The Oilers don't even live here anymore. And I'm sure people haven't forgotten that comeback just because they're gone. No.
My dad. That still talks about
doesn't
that
leave
heartbreak.
You just because it was Bill O'Brien ago? Hell no.
Yankee
fans, that is a gut punch.
Yankee fans have removed 2004 from their memory.
Oh, they have.
And they just go back to 27 rings.
Yeah, rings. Red Sox won't allow them to do it. No, I just simply made that as a comment of just because bad things happen.
No,
doesn't mean it. The Chiefs have won three Super Bowls, and I still remember Lynn Elliott missing four kicks in a game where they lost 10-7.
Are the Bills your most hated team because, well, they had the comeback?
They might be up there.
I think
the Chiefs right now. One, you got two things. You have the 24-0, and that was a gut punch because you lost that game, and they have stopped you twice. And then this one, people feel like in their hearts and minds they were cheated out of this game by the Chiefs. And they keep running their head up against Patrick Mahomes in it.
I assumed we were talking about the refs grouped in here with this Chiefs conversation. But to answer your question, I think the Chiefs are climbing the charts by the day in Houston on sports hate. I think they are nearing that upper echelon.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of hate.
You
for
have
the
them
Chiefs.
Ahead of the Yankees? Do you hate them more than the Yankees?
Hell no.
You got them ahead of the Cowboys?
Yes.
So you hate the Chiefs. Your sports hate bangs the Chiefs more than it does the Cowboys right now.
Yeah, and I know me and you talked a little bit about this off air before the show, but and I know it doesn't work this way for everybody's fan ideology, but for me, they supersede the Cowboys in my sports hate because, well, the Cowboys have been so damn irrelevant for so long doing nothing. You don't got to worry about them. They're kind of just there. That I don't get all hyped up, like, rivalry-minded in my sports hate for the Cowboys because they just suck.
Are the Chiefs higher for you than the Tennessee Titans? Because they suck.
Now that one should be at the top.
That yes, but that's also a divisional foe.
Fake Oilers.
That's two times a year guaranteed. We're playing the Cowboys once every 4 years or so.
Are the Chiefs higher than the Colts?
Yeah, they might be.
That should never happen.
I definitely feel more comfortable saying that than the Titans. Trying to own that, you know, damn Houston history, fake ass Nashville Oilers.
YouTube and Twitch, Tyler's living in recent memory. I get what Tyler is saying.
I just admitted that.
Tyler is saying that the Cowboys haven't really just done anything to just stop you.
No.
They haven't been in your way. I that's what I'm gathering from.
Yes, they've done nothing positive since I was crapping my diaper.
Are the Chiefs higher on the list than the Patriots?
I would think so.
Oh, yes.
Because that's totally recency bias, because the Patriots owned your ass for a decade.
Yeah, but I don't think you're getting it wrong. It's not, I don't think it's the owning your ass.
That aspect is like all those years of just searching for a franchise quarterback for me. It never felt like Patriots you were really serious.
I mean, there are so many different avenues to the Patriots that failed.
Yeah.
Jack Easterby, Bill O'Brien.
Oh, yeah, but he's near the top of my sports list.
But has there ever been a playoff or like what is the, like you tell me, Patrick, because you bring it up New England, what is the I hate the Patriots moment? Because I like all these other ones, like the Yankees, you have a I hate the Yankees moment.
Letterman
the Rangers
game.
Beat you in your house, game 7. I have what they did, I hate moment.
Letterman jacket game.
Yeah, is PC
that,
nailed it.
Is that what the Patriots did to you, or is that what they did to the damn selves walking out? Are you mad at them, or are you mad at the Patriots for walking out?
No, that is the game where they thought, hey, we're on the level of the Patriots, and they found out real damn quick they're not. How about the Jacoby Brissett game, where Jacoby Brissett, who basically never played, looks like the next coming of friggin' John Elway.
Is this a regular season game we're talking about?
Oh, he joined T.Y. Hilton as a straight-up Texan killer there for a minute. There were multiple games where him under center for whatever team he was playing for, he just carved the Texans up.
It didn't matter. Jacoby Brissett just beat the damn Texans.
Jacoby
but it started
and T.Y.
with him in New England. In a game that the Texans, because he was going to start, the Texans were supposed to throttle New England, and instead they got bent over and butt slapped like, you know, Tom and the little baby cat.
Mm-hmm. That was peak Watt.
But someone texted in 2012 divisional playoff was my I hate the Patriots moment. I just, my thing is with the Patriots, it's to me it's almost like. Yeah, but was there ever a moment where you felt like, and maybe that's the one you're talking about, I just, from afar, I wonder how much was it that was like, yo, man, I really think the Texans are gonna beat them. I really think the Patriots just took it, like they ripped it from us. Like, I can see it, like the Yankees, they pissed you off because of how they reacted to you. Dodgers, they pissed you off. The Rangers came in game 7 and took another championship opportunity from you. The Patriots, I mean, like how many of y'all walked into them games thinking like, yeah, man, we're about to beat them?
I didn't.
There were a lot of games. So when I first got here, all right, the 2012, 2013, fans thought they were going to take down the Patriots in those years. They did. And then as you get through, into the later end of the decade where Deshaun Watson is here, there were times people thought, hey, this is the year. This is the year. It never happened.
Yeah, and then when you're up 24-0 with Deshaun against I don't know where you guys would rank him. I feel like Tyler is pushing him higher and higher up the list. Also, Tyler is a little younger, so it's not like it's as fresh with Because obviously the Cowboys stuff goes deeper than just on the field stuff.
That's regional.
Right, and the fan stuff. But
Dallas fans are just annoying as hell.
Like, if I look at it with Tyler,
all
I feel like,
sports.
I feel like it's Yankees and the Chiefs. And maybe the Dodgers. Yeah. Tyler hated the Dodgers.
I think that might be it for me, man. I think you may have hit it. I think it might be Yankees, Dodgers, and I think the Chiefs might be sneaking into that third spot over the Titans, a.k.a. fake-ass Nashville Oilers.
All right, as we move through, text in, what's your top five? Your top five sports teams that you have sports hate as a Houston fan. Who are they? What is your top five? Actually, we'll do it like Tyler. Give me your top three. I don't want to make you work that hard. Tyler, you ain't got to put it in any kind of order if you don't want to. Tyler's Yankees is Yankees, Chiefs, and Dodgers are his top three. Yankees, Chiefs, and Dodgers. Who is your top three? We'll get into that. Also, we'll hear from the manager, Joe Espada. He spoke about Alex Bregman. Said he don't want to close the door. We'll let you hear what he had to say coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Oh, yes. Great song, Tyler.
You like that? Mastering those puppets.
All right, hold on. Give me a second.
Oh, come on.
Is this Metallica?
Nailed it.
You had to think about that?
Yes. I think there's probably some popular songs you see that you might not think about. I've done a few documentaries on Metallica.
What's it called? Anger? Saint Anger?
That's an album, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've watched one of their documentaries. It was really good.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah. Well, it wasn't bad. There you go. I like it when you get yourself excited. They're Enter Sandman too, correct?
Yes, how we start each and every episode of The Drive.
That is from the eponymous album. Also known as the Black Album.
Is this your number one band?
Metallica?
Oh, you're shaking now.
They're a top five.
I remember you did have to roll out and you missed the Judas Priest concerts. I know that.
Yeah, so that when Priest couldn't play here because Rob Halford was in the hospital, we went up to Dallas to go see them. And he had no voice and he sounded terrible. I've seen Rob Halford in concert 20 times, and this is the only time he couldn't sing. Because he literally just came out of the hospital, and he didn't have his voice back yet. Sabaton was freaking awesome. They opened for Judas Priest.
That's it, man. He's feeling it, isn't he? Said, awesome.
Oh, yeah. I knew that little Metallica would perk them ears up.
I thought he was about to cuss, man. He's freaking awesome. There you go. Let it out. Someone text in Guy Gene, Cubs number one, Patriots two, Jazz three. What the hell the Cubs do that? What is the Cubs moment?
I don't know. I think the Warriors should be on there somewhere.
Warriors, that would be one. They're very Chief-like in terms of have the player that has kind of stood in front of you and hurt you.
They have the referees going for them.
Oh boy, that seems to be a thing here. and then they cheat it with Kevin Durant. Yeah, that's a good one.
Kevin Durant, of course, we could only win a title riding the coattails of Stephen Curry.
Yeah, it seems that way. Although some may argue that Steph may have been the passenger in those championships.
But yeah, who won the titles before KD got there?
I know.
Who won a title after KD left?
Yeah, KD did win the MVPs there.
Thanks to Steph.
Steph fed into it. All right, let's hear from Joe Espada as we're getting close, probably a month, less than a month away from pitchers and catchers reporting to Florida. So they're getting ready to get going to try to get back on track in terms of the ALCS run they were on. Here's Joe Espada, and he's kind of talking about Alex Bregman, who still, oddly enough, hasn't been signed.
Well, he has not signed with anyone, right? So we here still, you know, open. Our arms are still open. The door's still open. There's always a chance, right? But right now, we are still in conversations with not only him, but with other free agent players. So we'll see. We'll see.
What do we do? What are we doing,
Joe? I don't know. Somehow we just went from Metallica to...
So you're telling me there's a chance?
In the sandline. What is Joe talking about? Joe, Alex Bregman. I felt like the GM was pretty clear on it.
No, and thanks to my good friend Nate Griffin, Fox 26, that interview there with Joe Espada.
Great hair.
Look, Joe is to me doing Breggy a solid.
I'm trying to do the best I can
because there's nowhere for Alex Bregman to play on this team. And if you bring Alex Bregman back at a contract that you should not be giving him, you now have where is Breggy going to play? Where is Isak Paredes going to play? Neither one of these guys have ever played outfield, and I don't know that either one of them ever could. Breggy is long past being able to play shortstop. That ship sailed 5 years ago. And obviously nobody's taking over second base for Jose Altuve. So there is nowhere for him to play. Joe is basically doing him a solid because Bregman's market is dry right now. The only two teams that right now have a legitimate shot to sign him are the Tigers and the Mets. Cora loves him in Boston, but the GM, Craig Breslow, he doesn't want to sign Bregman to a long-term deal because, number one, he can't move Rafael Devers off of third base because Devers refuses to move. And he's got a couple of young top prospects who are going to be ready in the next year to play second base, which if you sign Bregman to a long-term deal, well, you blocked him up there. And you got Tristan Casas, who's a lot cheaper than Bregman playing first. So he doesn't want to lock up that money. Plus, they are of the belief, because they feel that Vlad Guerrero Jr. has intimated to them that if he's not re-signed in Toronto, he would like to play in Boston. So they're holding money back, hoping that next year they're going to get a chance to sign Vlad Guerrero Jr., who, by all reports, there's a $100 million gap between what Vlad wants and what the Blue Jays are offering. The Blue Jays have offered more than what the Astros have offered to Alex Bregman, but he doesn't want to play in Toronto.
Is that in Canadian dollars, though?
No. All contracts have to be done in American dollars.
That's a great question. But if it is Canadian dollars, that's
the taxes.
That might be it.
He'd have to pay Canadian taxes.
Yeah.
And that's 50%. Plus, Bregman lives in Phoenix. Toronto might as well be the other end of the universe. I don't think he wants to leave his young wife and his young child so that he could be 3,000 miles away.
And I don't think he wants to live in Phoenix with Canadian dollars. I mean, if you start thinking about living in Phoenix with Canadian dollars, does he have to go to a certain bank?
Exchange it.
Will Bank of America still...
Yes, Bank of America automatically
works with your Canadian dollars? Will it look differently?
That brings you to...
That's a great point.
The Tigers... where AJ loves them, but they don't want to go to 6 years, and they certainly don't want to go to $200 million. So they're hoping to work out a deal. They haven't found that sweet spot yet. And now the Mets, who have moved on from Pete Alonso, and the long-held theory is that if they've moved on from Alonso, Bregman would be their target. They'll move Mark Vientos from third base to first base, and they play Breggy at third, and their defense would be much better. But right now, Bregman's market is the Tigers and the Mets, and neither one of them right now are looking to do 6 years and $200 million. Yeah. So Joe kind of threw Breggy a bone by, hey, yeah, man, we're still here. Just, you know. But everybody knows, everybody with Detroit, everybody in New York knows, Bregman is not coming back.
I think he was just talking. And they ain't no bone. You know they ain't going to help. They ain't going to help you.
It would be stupid for them to pay him that money. The reality is that money needs to go to Framber Valdez.
No, they're not going to. Well, they're not going to pay him either.
But if you're going to pay somebody,
you know they're not.
That's the guy to pay. The guy who's been a top five starter in the game for the last 5 years. The guy who's pitched among the most innings in baseball for the last 5 years. The only time he's missed time with injury was when he took a comebacker off the hand and broke his finger.
You think they're going to pay him 8 years, 200?
8 years, no. But I think six years is probably realistic. He's going to be 32.
What was it Freed got from New York? I think, was it?
He got 8 years and 214 or so. Yeah,
he's a year, just a few, not even a full year younger than him. And I don't think he's been as consistent as Framber has. And I know that's a weird thing to say for some when you think of Framber. I think Framber's probably been better in the postseason overall than him. I know that's probably weird for some people to hear. And this is a guy who is close to 200 innings virtually every year and has been pretty durable. I think he's going to command more than that.
And I don't think it's possible.
And I don't think that they would do it.
But if you're going to do it, Framber's the guy that you'd pick.
Oh, I hear you.
Shoot. It's really hard to find ace pitchers.
Gotcha.
And when you develop the guy, because if you remember when Framber first came up, that dude walked everything. He was walking six guys per nine. His walk rate was insane. They developed Framber to be the ace that he is.
It's hard to find 30 home run hitters, 30 steals guys, gold glove outfielders to get on base and drive in runs.
They cost more.
So sometimes some of those aces cost
especially
a good
penny
too.
You know, Tucker,
and they're more likely to get injured.
Tucker's going
to
be, what, 28? So he's younger. Will be 4 years younger hitting free agency. So, yeah, he's going to get a lot. How old you are when you hit free agency is a huge determiner of how much money you get. Framber's going to be 1 year older than Max Fried hitting free agency, but he's been a far better, far more consistent, far more durable pitcher.
Yeah, I don't know they're going to give him that kind of cash. All right, the big story from the weekend, and it's still into this week, is the referees. I don't want to go from it from just the way we've been talking about it. I don't know if you all have heard. If you haven't, we'll let you maybe hear a little bit of this. But how do you feel about the way the Texans, from D'Amico to Will Anderson to Joe Mixon, how do you feel about the way the Texans have handled the officiating stuff post-game? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
A little whiskey in the jar.
No, yes, I ain't got this now. I ain't got whiskey. Who is this?
This is the Metallica's version.
I didn't have it.
There's a Thin Lizzy version that's also pretty good.
Indeed.
There's a Thin Lizzy. All right. Well, the big story coming in, and be honest, it's what's kind of taken over the game, is especially for Texans fans, is the officiating. And there was two parts. It was the calls in the game, and I will make it very clear, I didn't like the calls. I didn't think they were good calls. The first one, especially from the view that the referee had from behind when they showed the live replay, I can completely understand, especially where the league is right now and how they protect quarterbacks. For the most part, sure, there are some outliers. Sure, Jared Goff should have had a flag thrown on him. They missed that one. They haven't missed many because he's had the most thrown on him in terms of roughing of any quarterback in the league. But I can see that one. But when you saw the front, I don't think it should have been a flag. I don't think it was forcible contact to the face. The second one I really don't like. Now, as I've said, I don't. When you get into the space of that, it costs the Texans the game, or as Clint said, crippling to them, or belief that. That referees in the league are conspiring for the Chiefs to win games, that's where you lose me. Yeah, I'm good on that. I don't believe that is the case.
Oh, but no, so
it is still a talking point, and it is a big thing that has become a big thing out of that game. But the other part to that is, what about how the Texans responded? Like, I think you understand how fans can lose it. How that becomes such a big thing. But I'm curious about your thought of how the Texans the Texans handled it. From the text line, 99 reasons, even the national media is talking about it. Seems everyone sees it, but them weak-ass Chiefs fans. No, I think it's ones you find. Because I could roll out several who don't believe that, and it's not just Nick Wright. But what do you think about how they handled it? Tyler, do you have D'Amico led it off first. Will Anderson, I think Will Anderson actually might get fined. D'Amico may have done it passive-aggressively enough to get away with it, especially when he stuck those one comments in, but he might get away with it. Joe Mixon probably fine, but they all gave thoughts to it. Joe Mixon with, hey man, we already know what it was going to be about when you come in here. We know that how that goes. I believe what did Will say? Will said we knew it was going to be us against the refs. Afterwards,
that's why he's getting fined. He said refs.
All right, here was D'Amico, because it was him first in his press conference talking about what they were up against.
Yeah, we knew going into this game, man, it was us versus everybody, right? When I say everybody, it's everybody, all of whatever, everybody, the naysayers, the doubt, right? Everybody we had to go against today. And you know, going with that, knowing going into this game what we were up against, we can't make the mistakes that we made, right? We had a lot of self-inflicted mistakes that happened, whether it's special teams not converting our kicks, defensively not being where we're supposed to be in coverage, all offensively not protecting our quarterback and keeping him clean. So you know, you marry that on top of everything else that we had to deal with, it's going to be a really tough uphill battle.
Marry that with everything else we had to deal with. 713-572-4610. How did you feel about the Texans, the coach and the players, the way they handled it? As I said, Joe Mixon was saying similar things of, we already know what it's going to be like when you come here, before we got here. Will Anderson, we already knew it was going to be us against the refs. I'll let you start this off, Pat. How did you feel? What was your feeling on how the Texans handled it after the game?
I didn't like it at all. When you're coming out with, well, we knew before the game, you know, the refs were going to be after us, to me, that's a defeatist attitude right away. And even if you believe that, you don't say that. Let the media tell that story for you. You don't try to tell that story. Look, we all saw those two calls that went against the Texans. At best, questionable. At worst, egregious.
I think there were bad calls.
But they're bad calls.
I don't think there are calls that needed to be made.
But at the same time, when Will Anderson gets that 15-yard roughing the passer on 3rd and 8 from the 33-yard line, Casey now has the ball at the 48. And the very next play is a 23-yard hit to Travis Kelce. Like, just because you got a penalty doesn't mean you need to now stop playing defense. Doesn't mean you need to allow them to go down the field and score. You know, they could have held. Instead, they gave up what was a 36-yard field goal to Buck. So, like, just because something didn't go your way doesn't mean, okay, now we got to give up a chunk play the very next play. And that's kind of how I felt the reaction was both of those times, where they give up, they get called for the questionable penalty, and then they allow Kansas City to score. Like, you've got to have a little more like mental toughness than that. And when you get that situation, right, the next drive that you have, there's 6 plays and 12 yards. That's your next drive. That's your answer. Is we're not going to do anything on that. And on that, you know, there was an 8-yard Joe Mixon run on that, and then there was a 14-yard pass to Nico. Then they started going backwards. Right, they give up the big sack on 3rd and 8. They give up a 12-yard sack, and then they're punting. And again, every time this team starts to move the football, sack, drive killer. Penalty, drive killer. And these are the things. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with fans being angry about the calls, but you have to be angry about the calls in the context of, there were a lot of other things Texans did wrong that cost them that game.
But
they could have overcame those two calls if they didn't do the other stuff wrong.
They were in their heads about it.
And right from the start, how can you plan to win a football game when going into the game you're admitting, well, we knew we were going to get screwed by the refs?
It was in their thoughts. Tyler, real quick before I get your thoughts, 99 Reasons says, man, it wasn't nothing wrong with them saying anything. Someone texted in, I wish they raised more hell. Someone texted in, you being from KC or wherever you're from, I don't trust your intentions right now.
Wherever you're from, Ron, wherever you're from.
I feel validated hearing the Texans acknowledge the BS uphill battle that the refs in the NFL present. Screw the Chiefs and the refs of the NFL. Someone else texted in, loser mentality. How about don't give up 8 sacks and don't screw up on special teams and someone cover Kelsey? Tyler, what? Like, I know the fan in you, I know you were feeling it. What was your thoughts hearing what D'Amico and Mixon and Will saying? What was your feeling of it?
Yeah, much like PC, not a huge fan of D'Amico using the words, laying it out as in like they were heading into this game thinking that way. Because I told y'all before this divisional round matchup between the Chiefs and Texans that I didn't buy the crazy, just people losing their minds talking about how all football season and maybe multiple football seasons, the referees look out for Mahomes and the Chiefs. I've never bought into that. I think he might get some preferential treatment, but I've never bought into that. So I didn't necessarily like that from D'Amico, but hearing the players sound off after the game, you know, just talking about some of those plethora of egregious calls made in the divisional game, I'm fine with it. I've always been a kind of call it like you see it type of guy. No hurt in my mind putting the league on notice that, hey, we know that you effed up like a multiple calls in this game.
See, I don't even really, Tyler, have an issue with them commenting on it, on the officials. Where I find it interesting is, and we just said some of those players, fellas, it was clear that it was a talking point.
Yeah.
Like it would, that's the thing for me is, and it ain't just a talking point like amongst everybody in the, no, it wasn't just like, hey, man, don't worry about stuff. We got to go up there and, you know, hey, might be some bad. No, the way D'Amico said it, the way they're all saying it with the same word usage and everything, verbiage, this was something that they walked into talking about during the week, concerning themselves with during the week.
And they gave it away.
And as you said, it's a, like they were doing it. Like, I know I've seen some people dig up the Justin Reed field goal where he came around the stupid, the stupid decision to kick a 55-yard field goal in that temperature and that wind with Fairburn.
But it was also offside.
Well, it was. I mean, it wasn't. Like, I mean, it was, like, first off, old Russ York, who came on there, he came in from the break. And you know he wasn't for the, like he's calling it how he sees it. He came back and said, we timed it up. It seemed pretty right on the money when the ball was snapped.
Well, he said from being here, he's like, I'm familiar with, you know, what Weeks does and what the cadence is. So he knew he could anticipate the snap, and he anticipated it right.
Yeah, that part of it is, and then like I see him, he's going off about it. D'Amico's going off about it. They kept showing video footage of D'Amico talking to that extra official. It was clearly in their minds and in their heads, and they walked into it as a talking point, and they all said the same talking point.
And to say, hey, we knew coming in, like you said, this is something that they all week long, we knew coming in, that means all week long it was a conversation.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate because I think that's not the way you have to approach the game.
No, yeah. To me, if you walk into it thinking, like, if you play the Astros and you walk into it thinking, I know they're up to something. Damn it, I know they're up to something. If you're the Twins, you walk in and play the Astros, you've lost.
And that's it. Now, the first call that goes against you,
and now it's in your head.
Oh, the refs are after us. Whereas if you had a normal mindset coming in, call goes against you, all right, we got to get over this. Let's go get it.
All right, coming up, a little 5 o'clock fire. We got a new national champion, the Rockets. I thought I thought we were past this type of game. And really, that type of game is what really makes you really nervous about this team down the stretch when they get into these big games that, like the playoffs. But also, big news coming out of New England as the Patriots. They've hired another new coach. We'll let you know all about that coming up next right here live on The Drive.